All right, well, let me jump into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. And I got to say, so, yeah, last night was an epic night. It just was. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. If you're a political junkie, absolutely. If you're a conservative talk show guy, absolutely. But I think for America, it was an epic night with an epic result because epic turnout by Americans to vote for something better than what they had is what occurred. And we found out on the night, which is awesome. It was not just a win, y'all. Let it sink in that for all practical purposes, we appear to have taken both the popular vote and the Electoral College vote. We have flipped the Senate, we'll likely retain the House, and we have gained seats in governor's races, picked up new voters from minority groups who saw the light, and became known once again as the party of the working man. Last night was a complete and total repudiation of the liberal progressive agenda. So my friends, take today and bask in the moment. Don't spend too much time gloating, though, because now the real fight begins. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, they will now assemble their team and begin to do the work that we've given them the opportunity to do, work that they had better be doing. Okay, let me walk down memory lane here. I'm going to make a point, and then I'll come back to my overall discussion. But memory lane, you ready? How many of y'all watched the classic movie, The Dirty Dozen? Great movie. Lee Marvin, Jim Brown, Donald Sutherland, Charles Bronson, Ernest Borgnine. I mean, golly, what a cast. It was a classic all-call of action characters in a classic manly man movie. Kind of like the newest version of the action genre doing the same thing these days called The Expendables with Sylvester Stallone and a whole crew. The storyline was set in World War II. Lee Marvin, taking a bunch of outcasts and convicts and misfits from a military prison, forming them into an elite commando unit. Sort of like the Suicide Squad, if you get down to it. Because they were designed for a suicide mission, deep behind German lines. Each man knew they had a mission to accomplish, and if they failed, they went back to prison. So basically, the men of the Dirty Dozen had to fight like their life depended on it. So I bring up the Dirty Dozen movie because there was one particular scene that I want to talk about. There was a situation in the movie where there was this kind of highbrow army colonel who got wind that a top secret group was coming onto his base. He was told he couldn't ask questions. He was told the group contained a high-ranking general. Well, the colonel just couldn't contain himself. So he stopped the trucks and he asked for the general to please inspect his top unit who were standing there in formation, all spit and polished by the side of the road. The Dirty Dozen, they didn't have any generals. They were all rough around the edges, unshaven, their uniforms looked awful. But not knowing what else to do, the leader of the Dirty Dozen told Donald Sutherland's character, who was a complete nut job, by the way, to pretend that he was a general, traveling incognito just to inspect the troops. Walk the line, don't say anything, and let's get out of here. Well, yeah, it didn't quite go that way. Now, he played the part for a few minutes, you may remember, until he finally stopped, looked at the arrogant colonel in his dress uniform and said, well, they're very pretty, colonel, but can they fight? Which caused the whole rest of the Dirty Dozen to fall into fits of laughter at the prima donnas that were standing there in the formation. Here's the thing. I tell you that story because we don't need Trump to bring in a bunch of very pretty soldiers. We need a Dirty Dozen or more who will get the job done like their lives depend on it. That's what we need. You see, we are not done. In military parlance, it is time for us now to prepare for the counterattack. In every force-on-force confrontation, there is always key terrain. 19th century Prussian general Karl von Clausewitz, he wrote a seminal classic called On War, and Clausewitz's treatise on warfare lays out truths about strategy, tactics, decision-making, leadership, but among other factors, he extols the virtues of key terrain, describing it as one of the constant factors in any engagement. So you have to first seize the key terrain to win the battles. And y'all, last night was not a battle per se. Last night was us taking the key terrain. We are now sitting on the high ground. We took the ground that allows us to fight. We seized the high ground that gives us a commanding position on the battlefield. Do not lose sight of that fact. Last night was not the actual battle. Last night was merely the right seizing the key terrain so that we can fight the left in battles from a position of strength. But here's the thing. As a young infantry officer, I was always taught that once you seize the key terrain on a battlefield, you have to dig in, fortify, stockpile, reorganize. You don't rest right away. You catch your breath and then you prepare for the enemy to counterattack. You see, the enemy wants the same terrain that we hold now. The enemy wants to fight from the White House and Congress and the Senate as surely as we do. The enemy knows all about key terrain. And since we now hold it, we have to make sure that we don't just have pretty soldiers who look good in pretty uniforms. We need some scrappers. We need some fighters. some people who will get busy and get dirty and get even get mean if they have to. We need folks who will take the key terrain that we have fought for and use it to our advantage to win the war. So how do we do that? Well, Army doctrine teaches that stifling the enemy's ability to counterattack and take back our key terrain involves several things: disruption, flexibility, concentration of power, preparation, and security. We have to immediately begin doing what we can to disrupt the rabid liberal leftist efforts to regain control. We do that by communicating well with each other, appointing conservative judges to uphold the laws, passing strong conservative legislation, making sure our economy grows again as proof of our position. We have to be able to pivot to their attacks and not become myopic in our views, only seeing certain things with blinders on. We got to find their weak points, concentrate our efforts for quick wins, while also developing a long game strategy to preserve our principles. And we have to keep our leaders secure, because honestly, Trump and Vance especially, they are now at physical risk of actual attack on their lives for merely working through the democratic process. But to do all of that, we have to have a team of fighters. A team that is not just a bunch of pretty soldiers who look good in pretty uniforms. Now, Trump has assembled quite a crew. He has folks on stage with him that will likely be in his cabinet or at least by his side. J.D. Vance, Elon Musk, RFK Jr., Vivek Ramaswamy, Tulsi Gabbard. These are folks who have proven their ability to lead large organizations or to buck the norms and push back on apathetic leadership. These are potential reformers. And there will be more. We don't know who will join the cabinet, but I could see folks like Doug Burgum, Ron DeSantis, Tom Cotton, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, all potentially taking a seat at the table. And there will likely be a strong group that will have the opportunity, through Trump's efforts to gain the office, to appoint at least one, maybe two, Supreme Court justices. And that could solidify our legal positions on life, liberty, and property for generations to come. Look, the team they assemble is going to have to consist of senators and congressmen who are also willing to work for the people and for the cause of conservative constitutional principles and not just be pretty and work toward their own re-elections. And there will be allies in the broad spectrum. And one of those allies now is going to be more conservative media. Conservative media is absolutely on the rise. The mainstream media has proven its inability to be other than pretty. Look, I predict that conservative outlets like Right Side will have a new and increased opportunity for bringing truth and accountability. But the question, though, is not just the who in terms of the dirty dozen on the team. It's also the what. You don't just sit in the defense and brace for the counterattack. You see, seizing key terrain means you do have a place from which to launch your offensive, to go attack the enemy. In our case, we need to attack the enemy immediately and see our border secured, a plan for removing masses of illegal immigrants from our communities. We need to see a plan for growing our economy that puts the U.S. back into a position of world strength. We need a military filled with warriors and leaders who will love this country and are willing to sacrifice for it. We need to exert energy dominance and develop a plan for all of the above use of great assets that we have. American citizens also need to know that the sanctity of the family and faith and property will be respected and defended, because that's the core of who we are. All of that and more is before us, and all of that is worth fighting for. So yeah, last night was huge, y'all. It was huge. No denying it. So catch your breath, hug some necks, slap some backs, and relish the moment. But last night was not the full battle. Last night, we just seized some key terrain. Now we need a team who will not just be pretty, but they will fight. A team who will preserve us for generations to come as a force for good and a city on a hill. So first we regroup, and then we take the dirty dozen and we go pick a fight like our lives depend on it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.